And we're back from our restroom break. You're listening to Fancy Ramen episode 14, part 2. Scott, how was that little exercise?
I'm Scott. Wait, we're not doing that, are we? Sorry guys, I'm a little out of it. So are we going to pretend that I was...
I'm not sure that we're pretending.
Well, what are you talking about,
Scott? I literally just watched you walk out of the bathroom, Scott.
Yeah, that's...
Okay, fine, I'll play along with this.
That's technically true.
Guys, oh my God, it is.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It is true.
Guys, I took a much needed vacation from the podcast, and I'm not talking about being in the bathroom for an hour.
How was your trip to Philly?
It was pretty great. It was fun. I also spent some time in the it's like the absolute counterpart as far as like excitement and demeanor to Las Vegas, and that is Sad Las Vegas, also known as Atlantic City. I spent just enough time there to realize that there's a reason absolutely no one ever goes there, and to turn around and flee the city. Yeah. Holy shit. But I'll tell you what, that seafood though was so good.
And did you have some clams?
And dirt cheap. I had oysters for the first time. Yeah, really? They were awesome.
Gross.
My mom's allergic to seafood, so I didn't actually start eating fish until after I moved out and went off to college. And then I, you know, was in a landlocked state, so I still didn't get much for seafood.
True.
Where did you grow up in? Colorado? Or
I grew up pretty much in like a 30-70 split between Missoula, Montana and Omaha, Nebraska.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hence the move back to Montana.
Yeah, two very different regions.
Now, I kind of want to ask this. I'm not being insensitive.
Please, go right ahead.
Is your mom allergic to like shellfish or all seafood, actually?
Actually, she's allergic to shellfish and other fish as well. She can't even do like fish oil stuff. Like,
oh, wow.
I'm surprised.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a big...
Yeah.
So insensitive, Neil.
Well,
she's actually very sensitive to fish oils and shellfish.
To be fair, a lot of people make up their allergies.
Yeah, like a lot of people
claim there's gluten. No, I have totally faked a mushroom allergy, which is, I don't think, a thing.
No, it's a thing.
So now it's a thing.
Now.
Because I've got it, but I did it so I didn't have to like deal with mushrooms.
Can you be allergic to beans?
Yeah.
I mean, you could theoretically be allergic to anything. Allergy is the response of
autoimmune.
Like, yeah, your autoimmune system. Whatever the epitope is, we might get super technical with this, but it's fine because our listeners are going to love it. essentially, what antibodies bind to are epitopes. And epitopes are small features on what is considered an antigen. And the antigen is the thing that would cause that your antibody binds to. So essentially, to like make it super simple, if I'm allergic to pet dander itself is the antigen and it has an epitope on a particular type of like pet dander, let's say it's cats. And so there's a small like macromolecular characteristic that my antibodies would bind to, and then upon that binding I would have an immune response because of the antibody activating my immune system. And so that's how our allergies work. And so, for instance, in my mom's case, like, it's either got to be something where she has antibodies that respond to shellfish and then some other thing with other like fish, or there might be a common component that's like well conserved throughout pretty much anything that lives in the ocean that makes her unable to eat it or even, you know, come into like a extended contact with it where she'll just like swell up.
Here's the more less technical definition of that, Neil.
It's way more cool though.
Oh, immune system coon. And I did not put the coon in. That was already there.
Oh, you are so protective. He's reading a black and white comic book.
Yes, my love. I will always protect you, says immune system. What's that on your face? What? This? It's just a bit of cat hair. It's hurting you. Oh, no, not at all. Really, it's just cat hair punched in the face. Allergies.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Accurate. Who did that comic?
Correct.
I saw it on Pinterest.
I've seen it so many places.
I think it's that. Okay. IMG.
No, that's
no Imgur is something different. Oh. Yeah.
On the topic of
Imgur, Imgur makes so much content, guys. We should all acknowledge he or she for their contributions to society. Thank you. Thank you.
On the topic of comics, cartoon strips like that, are you familiar with the Him Daisy persona comic strip?
No, not at all.
That sounds fun.
You could basically just read the Him Daisy Persona 4 summary, and it's a bunch of, you know, like satire cartoon strip panels of Persona 4's story.
Wait.
One of the most notable ones is...
I know exactly what you... I've read this whole thing in lieu of finishing Persona 4. And it's great. I really do love it.
It's so widely appreciated that even in the localization of Persona 4 Golden, they actually reference it with with Chie.
Mm-hmm.
So there's just one line where like one of the characters for some reason starts breaking out into more or less like a children's TV show type of thing. And he's like, what other words start with F? And Chie, being like the meat lover she is like, the steak? And
wow.
They work that into the script for the additional content in Golden. So,
oh, nice.
Really got to throw out the love, because that it's funny. It's funnier than anything in Persona 4. So,
okay, I'm so glad that you actually reminded me of this. I pulled it up, and the first link that'll come up is for Imgur, who, like, I can't believe all the content that this person's made, but. It says Him Daisy's Persona 4 comic, warning, very long.
Yes.
But if I remember correctly, I just like burned through this because it was so funny. I just couldn't stop reading it.
Speaking of Persona and funny, I watched part 2 of the Persona 3 movie. I'm guessing it's a 3-part series.
I think it is. I can't remember if it's 3 or 4 parts.
Either way, I saw part 2, which is on Netflix.
Did you watch the first part too? Or?
No, because it's not on Netflix. Just part 2 is. So I came in halfway through the thing. That's real depressing.
Yeah.
That's real depressing.
The movie does a much better job of conveying the depressing emotions. Yeah.
The tough guy died, saving the little kid who wanted to kill him 5 minutes before.
No names, just so I don't have to make a fucking warning for this.
Oh, like, man.
Should I cut that out? Oh. Yeah.
You know.
I'm glad I wasn't paying attention.
Names. That's Persona 3.
How I avoid spoilers.
By not paying attention. I like it.
I really want to point out, though, that like that whole series of events, as much as it tugs at your heartstrings, is like one of the problems I have with that game. And specifically with like with the boy character, because he like
goes from super happy to super killing everyone to super sad.
Yeah, I don't think he's as well written as some of the other characters in the series.
I wouldn't know. That movie was about him, pretty much.
It's really focused on him?
They basically save his life, and then that's the story. And you also meet the android chick.
Mm.
Oh, is that not at the start?
Nah, that was in part 2.
No, the start of part 2, I mean.
What, the android chick or them saving the boy's life?
Yeah, the android chick and like them trying to hit on girls.
Yeah, that's at the beginning.
Okay.
But she like comes in about halfway through, and then something, I don't know. It was really focused on him and the tough guy.
I didn't like that arc in 3.
It's the only one I've already seen.
Speaking about arcs we don't like, are we going to talk about another?
Absolutely. So we watched episode 9 through 12 within the last week-ish.
Yeah, week-ish.
I watched it immediately after we did our podcast, more or less, on Sunday.
I definitely did not watch all of those episodes last night to catch up in time for recording. I didn't, and that's why I won't have really good memory of everything that happened as though it was just yesterday.
Well, don't feel bad, because I didn't agree to rewatch it.
So, for those who don't know, my wife did not. She strictly said,
I'm not watching
this show again.
Okay,
yeah,
fuck you.
Do it again.
Before we go into anything, I will say that not only did I watch it, I also finished the manga, and I also went through some relatively deep synopsis, right?
I really admire your dedication, and I want to bring that level of dedication to the next one we do. But
it's got to be good enough to do it.
Yeah, I'm also glad I didn't waste my time on this one necessarily.
Yeah, yeah.
To our listeners, I'd like to say that I made the bet and doubled down on what I thought was a stupid bet, but I wanted to do it anyway. That either, you
I
know,
think you said the main
either
character
Misaki
was dead?
May was dead, or that the main character was dead, or that they were both dead. And I realized I was wrong by like, I knew it was a dumb bet when we talked about it on the podcast previously, but I was like, there's still a chance. There's still a small chance that I could be, you know.
Before we talk about who the dead one or the extra one is,
I assume we'll get to that at the very end of our talk about
it. Let's very quickly, though, just cover what happens through those episodes, because guess what? And also, I read some synopsi for the light novels just to kind of have perspective, because I knew a lot of people, a lot of opinions that were expressed around the circle of friends that the anime was not good and did not do things effectively. Now, what happens through 9 through 12? Really, it doesn't fucking matter.
No, it like, doesn't. Really, it actually makes almost everything else that happens not matter either.
Yeah.
What I'm excited to do about this is if we could talk piece by piece about, like, if we can talk episode 9 and what that meant, and then episode 10 and whatnot, because I want to, like, let you guys know what my evolving in, like, inner narrative was in my head as to how things may go. Because I think we all knew that I was making a stupid bet earlier, and I knew that it probably wasn't gonna play right out that way. So as I was watching forward, I'm like, so what do I really think? Like, what did I not say publicly, but like I'm thinking in my head as I go through these. And I have to say, it did change almost every episode. Like, I changed my opinion on like what I actually thought the outcome was gonna be.
So while you're discussing it, can you also remind me of a few things? Because it's been more than a week since I've watched it, so I'm kind of rough on the details.
So, yeah. But I have to ask, before anything, without any kind of spoilers, were you correct?
I was wrong in every way. Like, even at the very end, like, the last two episodes are kind of paired together, like a lot of like good finales are, where you have half of the episode front loaded so you have more time for resolution, but you get to like build up all that tension on, say, episode 11 in this case. I was like, oh, you know, this is something that I had thought at the very beginning, and then I discounted because I wanted to chase some red herrings, and I went back to this idea about who I thought the person that the extra was, the another person. And I was wrong at the very end, and I was super disappointed. I was like, damn, I thought I was so close on that guess.
Yep. So you guys finished it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Episode 9. What were your thoughts watching? What happened in 9?
Okay, so for those who haven't seen episode 9 in forever, brief synopsis, please.
Okay. Thank you, Wikipedia, for the endless fountain of knowledge that you are.
That episode Wikipedia 9, guy.
Body paint. Yeah, Wikipedia and all he or she has done for us. I love you, Wikipedia. Chibiki reveals that Junta's death stemmed from a head trauma he received while still in Yomiyama, which does actually help us determine that maybe people don't die from the curse when they're actually out of the town of Yomiyama, because he may have actually died from his head wound that he suffered in the town and then just got dissolved by a speedboat after.
Brain aneurysms for the win.
Yeah, yeah. There's actually
boat cone. A lot less forgiving than truck cone.
Yeah. Let's see what else happens. Oh, they find the note that was left behind that was actually a cassette tape in the old 3-3 classroom. Like, it's in like a storage locker for some mops and brooms and stuff. And so they listen to the tape, but at the very end of the episode, like, they stop the tape before they get the like essential information that they need. And so that's the cliffhanger. So not a lot happens in body paint. And does someone die? Oh yeah, that's right. Some female character like Ogura, I think. Her brother gets destroyed by like a He gets scooped out by a crane, essentially. It crashes and the bucket of the crane goes like through his window and just kills him at his computer.
This is like a bobcat type crane.
Yes.
And another female student, her car gets
hit by a rock from like a very subtle rock slide of one rock onto their windshield while they're driving, and they all crash.
Instead of slowing down like a normal human being would do, he just drove head straight off.
Yeah, it didn't even seem like they braked. They were just like, holy shit, I can't see anything. No. And did nothing about it. But I don't know. I think it was too late at that point.
I must say.
Unless it killed the driver on the impact.
Oh,
which we don't know.
Nah.
It didn't show any blood.
It didn't. And I must say, poor the guy who just parked his car to get something to drink when Bulldozer scooped Old Girl's brother. Yeah. Out of the building because he lost his job.
That guy's going to jail. He's going to jail for wanting a soft drink in a cursed town. That's not fair. I mean, vending machine coffee is pretty tempting. It's
Boss Coffee, probably. They couldn't put it in the anime since it's licensed, you know. But
so that's Body Paint, and then Glass Eye is episode 10.
So before we talk about Glass Eye, how did Body Paint differ from like that little section of the manga? Mango.
Oh God!
You know, we really got to start calling it anime as well. So first and foremost, the beach never happens. Junta does not die that way. He is in the light novel. He's another minor character. I believe he dies in the fire, but he dies off page. Is that how you would call it in a novel?
Off panel.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Oh, this would be for the novel though.
Wait, the novel or the
Jinchi? Still be off panel.
The manga.
Light novel, I guess, in this case.
Is it a light novel or does it have pictures?
They it's two separate things. So the light novel, he doesn't die until the fire. And the manga, I don't even remember him being mentioned, but if he is, he dies in the fire as well. In both the light novel and manga, they have absolutely no problems in the classroom. The classroom is not decrepit and fucked up, and there's no falling glass to scare Misaki, or not scare Misaki, but for Misaki to get pulled out of the way.
I don't even think it's honestly in that bad a shape. It looks like they just shoved a bunch of stuff in there to store it, and
she just happened to be like trying to force brittle glass open.
Misaki also doesn't go with them, I'm pretty sure, in both forms, the manga and the light novel. Oh. A lot of times, bespectacled.
For someone with glasses.
Yeah, the glasses coon, the class representative, is in the story a lot more in both the light novel and manga.
Yeah, who I don't even recognize in the anime at all.
Until
a later episode.
But that's going to be some of the common differences. I'll talk about like the biggest differences for the last two episodes after we're done talking about everything.
Yes.
So episode 9, Glass Eye.
Episode 10, Glass Eye.
Oh, 10, excuse me.
So
episode 11, Glass Eye.
They find... We've been watching the anime Glass Eye together. So in episode 10, they finally repair the tape and they get to listen to the secret, which is you have to return the dead to death.
Return the dead to death.
And they also travel to the Yomiyama Shrine.
So this is the part where I like to say, like, so after they get done with the shrine, I just like to like turn on the song Ballroom Blitz and just watch the last episode.
Oh my God, that would be such a perfect song for that.
Isn't it though?
Can we, if we don't put it into the podcast episode, then I at least want to listen to it after we're done recording.
I'm down.
Whichever version there is, because there are two versions and both of them are good.
Aren't they though?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So Glass Eye, they're at the shrine. They clean up and...
Yeah, they learn that they have to, you know, kill the extra... and they also, I don't think it's extra student when they say that, which is important to note for later. They just say the extra.
because all of a sudden they're just tuned in.
But at this point in time, you're only thinking extra student.
Well, you only think extra student. Yeah.
Because this entire time they've been talking extra student.
They have been saying extra student, but the guy doesn't even say extra student. I think he remains more ambiguous with just extra on that.
It is a student in his class, though.
Yes, it is a student in his class. That's right. Accidentally kills him, finds out that he was actually the ghost, and his death is erased from everyone's memory, but his own immediately. And then later, it seems he's also lost that memory.
Only able to remember it when he's drunk.
Or in a traumatic experience, yeah.
Watching a kid get dissolved, we'll do that.
That'll get you, yeah. That'll get to you. The other really important thing is that May finally explains her super weird like background.
Her deus ex machina?
That she's a twin and that her twin died, and that explains why she's haunting a hospital at night when the main character's there, which doesn't actually it's a really weird way to like place her there and then also make it where she can just appear and disappear at rant. Like, I get it that it's this idea of camera work.
He's just obviousness. He's just really not paying attention.
Yeah, he's spacing out.
You could also attribute to the fact that in both the manga and light novel, they put way more importance on his condition. In the anime, it seems like he's perfectly fucking healthy. He's A-okay. He can do whatever. He just occasionally spends a week in the hospital. Well, that's not a big deal. Don't worry about it.
Okay. His lung collapsed twice because it only happens to his family twice because it runs in the family. It's hereditary. Genetics.
Yeah, so, you that's know, how that works, you can right? attribute some of his mental hiccups as literally him being not the most unstable.
Yeah,
he's kind of frail.
Yeah, it's the unreliable narrator thing. Same thing as like Nick from Great Gatsby. Like, you're just not sure if you're actually the best person to tell the story. But you're all I've got. So in Glass Eye, we finally figure out that not only is May a twin, and it explains all of the weird coincidences going on with her, but also that she has the ultimate ability to tell who the person who's actually dead.
Deus ex machina.
Yeah, she's just got a super easy out because they put a fucking glass doll eye in her eye and that gives her magical abilities.
And then we were about to find out who the killer was.
Do we also know...
Then there was a knock on the door.
Do we learn about how she's not her mother's daughter? But
yes.
She's
actually... Yeah, that's so
convoluted
confusing.
Twin.
Yeah. Her cousin twin. Who dies.
And Uncle then grandfather.
And they get traded and all this other crazy stuff. It's like, for people who didn't watch it, I don't want to waste the time butchering it.
True.
It's the Parent Trap.
Yeah.
But less happy. There's a dead kid involved.
It's a depressing Parent Trap, and I can't describe it very well. So all I can say is that she actually had a twin sister that explains all of the weird background that would cast suspicion upon her.
And more importantly, that is the solidifying thing that proves that Koichi is not dead.
Yeah, I know. So at that point, I'm like, ah, fuck.
Yep, because that means the first victim is in April, and that was before, or technically at the same time he joins the class, right around there.
Or
she was getting sick before he even gets there. So
that solidifies him, and it sort of solidifies her because
of the past of,
exactly. Her like issues have been resolved, but also in that, like, she has the ability to tell who the dead person is. So if she isn't able to determine anyone, then it
if
could
everyone
be her.
Looks dead.
But yeah, or it's just one of those things where, like, now that she has this ability, it doesn't make any sense in the story. Like, thinking
to kill her.
Yeah.
So
yes, the big thing here is that in case you were mistaken, viewers, and I'm assuming the people at the table, she has known who the extra was this entire time.
Yeah.
Entire time. So question, Scott, at that point,
who did I think it was?
Who'd you switch to?
It was obviously the representative of countermeasures.
And that would be a wonderful, wonderful ending.
It is a great guess, and I thought it would make for an exceptional ending.
And it did make for an exceptional ending. Until it wasn't the ending.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's...
Wait, so what hints or, like, what things brought that to your attention?
So she's way too eager to find the dead person and just shift the blame to people.
It's like Secret Hitler.
But regardless, she... Like, we all know that the extra isn't aware that they're the extra.
Right.
So just because if she were the extra, she would have no extra incentive to try and shift it onto other people.
She wouldn't.
There's redirection happening, it's for the sake of the viewers as opposed to the sake of her own.
But she's still a character and we have to treat her like a character.
Right.
And I wouldn't say she's shifting the blame purposely. I'm thinking, obviously, I'm not the dead one. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take this super seriously and find the person who is dead.
No, I get
right.
you.
And if she happens to be the dead one, that just... It's one of those things, like, her assumption is always going to be she's not the dead one.
Right.
And that made sense to me. And I was like, and her dogged pursuit of literally anybody else does kind of cast this whole, like, poetic justice that
I was with her being the dead one. Anyway.
Exactly. It would be poetic justice for her to be the one who's going out of her way to try and solve the calamity when she is the crux of the calamity.
At this point... What might have also drawn your attention to her was also the nightmare she has of Koichi coming to town in a different school uniform and meeting her while she's crying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That memory, though, solidified my theory from last episode, which was that Koichi had been in town
before because of some random reason.
And
she totally could have died after that.
You're absolutely right, but it served as evidence for me, even though it wasn't solid evidence, that she was not the dead one.
For a short moment in time when she tripped, I was like, she's going to break her neck and this is going to be it. Like, she's going to die tripping into the little storm drain area.
Okay, so towards the end of episode 9, a glass eye.
Or 10, yeah.
A 10, glass eye.
There's a knock on the door.
We're about to find out. The dead one is... Guys, I messed up. I think I killed somebody.
Boom. Episode 11 hits. Makeup.
In this episode, I want to start off by...
They finally identify who the class rep is, or the president. he's dying.
Who has had a stronger role in the manga and light novel, which... I only point that out because that was my guess coming into this point. And it was kind of a good red herring if you had him as your guest, because not only do they go and try and find him, they can't find his body. So whatever.
But the
outgoing
him.
Guy pushed him over the ledge of the ledge of a balcony. He falls down and is not moving. Outgoing guy runs over, gets Koichi and Mei. They go out to where his body would have been, but it's not there.
That's also happening in the anime. That happens off screen, them going out there. When they go out there to find his body.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. They just like say it.
In the so he doesn't disappear in the manga.
He also doesn't disappear in the anime.
He kind of just moves.
Well, right, right.
Because he shows just, up. Like, as soon as they're like, we're going to go find his body, shit happens. He's right there now. He's like, oh, that was terrifying. Thanks. We should probably leave.
The killing spree he goes on, he does not go on in the manga. He just lays on the ground for a long time.
My back.
Oh, were we supposed to get a synopsis of this episode? Sorry.
Yeah, it's good.
Okay, sorry. Koichi finds that the manager's been killed, the dining hall is on fire, and the tape's missing. So... what is it? Koichi's two friends, the balcony murderer and the art school nerd, get attacked by the hotel mistress, who's crazy, and there's no explanation for it besides the fact that, like,
her kid died that year because of the curse.
Oh.
Because they're the grandparents of one of the children.
Okay.
Who died. Yeah. They said she went crazy and murdered everyone because such and such died. I think it was the curse like a year before or that year.
No, it was that year. It's one of the students that dies earlier. Obviously, she goes crazy because of the curse.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, she stabs her husband Koichi, to death.
As Koichi raises his hand to the sky.
And so they get attacked and they're running around. It's great. We are going to listen to it after this. I know.
And it just turns into a ballroom blitz.
It does. Students are dying everywhere. Everybody's just taking free reign now to kill each other.
So, and the reason everyone's taking free reign to kill each other is because
dumb Glasses Girl
goes a little crazy after watching Buddy get dissolved by Boatcoon, and takes the tape, plays it over a loudspeaker, and is just like, and the dead one is, drumroll please,
Mamie Saki.
Because I knew her back when she was younger, and she had two eyes.
And brown hair.
And brown hair.
Yeah, but she doesn't note that. See, it's she's the twin dumb. Sister. Yeah, she's dumb. If she would have noted the different hair color, things
black
been
hair,
totally
brown
different.
Hair, way different.
Yeah, it is. It is different.
So yeah, totally met her, and she had two eyes. Then I transferred over, and then she had one eye. She did.
In her defense,
right? It's not like she just lost an eye, unfortunately. In that,
well, because she did
between.
Say. How old was she? She said she was 5.
Oh, she was young when she lost it. That's
girl,
right.
Old girl was like, Mamie Saki May lost her eye way before then.
Mm-hmm.
So in her defense, I will point out that in anime, your hair color, like let's say if there's a blonde character, in reality, their hair color is probably just dark brown.
Yeah.
They're just American
characters.
But
true.
I'll make the argument that, you know, I don't care if hair color doesn't matter. Or
no,
not.
No,
right,
like,
right. It's at least being distinct in that way. Granted, I am talking to someone who's seen JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, in which at any moment in time, anyone's hair can be any color.
Literally.
Which is what I love about it. It's part of the beauty of the art
like
style.
Polnareff.
I'm going to watch it, okay? I'm going
to
watch it.
You do have to, because JoJo, like the original JoJo, his hair color is like, kind of it's a dark, like navy blue, almost a midnight blue at times. And then just at the like drop of a hat, all of a sudden it's fucking turquoise because, yeah. And his skin's like gold yellow because they're just doing this weird color shift.
It's Hamon,
or inversion,
man.
Yeah.
Once you get that, amazing. Once you get that power, the whole world changes.
Yeah. It's very, it's so psychedelic how they do the art. But yeah, so besides that anime, I expect almost every anime, like the character's hair color is maybe an artistic like interpretation or like they're taking some artistic liberties.
There are some
like
artistic liberties in this anime.
Yeah. With people who have green hair, like it makes, nobody has green hair. But for the sake of it, like I expect the anime characters to be working within a universe in which the crazy colored hair is just part of things, but they could see, if they saw someone with green hair, they'd be like, they have green hair. I can identify that.
Yeah.
And not everyone pretending it's black or brown. So I was just like, this seems like a really, this is a overlooked thing here.
Now to start off this, like
this ballroom
crazy.
Blitz.
Yeah. Blitz.
This Blitzkrieg pop.
The teacher, the remaining teacher, gets hit in the head by a mop or a broom. I can't remember.
She gets mopped.
Yeah. And she's out mopped. Cold and bleeding a bit. And
she doesn't bleed as profusely as I expect, but did any of you guys assume she was dead upon that hit?
No.
I assume she was dead at that.
I assume she was dead. Yeah. Yep. So Lizzie's the only doubter, and she... I don't know why. Why did you think she was fine?
I just remember that scene and being like, oh, she's, you know, just got knocked out.
You're like,
out.
That's not even that much blood. You're faking it. Wuss.
Throw some dirt in it.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I just had a feeling like that she wasn't all the way dead.
Gotcha.
You also probably think that the NFL concussion procedures are all bullshit now at this point.
I still think CTE is a total hoax, just like climate change. Lizzie, 2017. Okay, so that's the ballroom blitz continues throughout this episode. Glasses girl hangs herself on some cables.
In her defense, unintentionally.
Misaki May is a fucking dodging ninja.
Yeah, she's just like,
I'm going to walk around all super calm throughout this entire thing. Oh, you swinging at me? Nah, I'm good. I'm good.
Doing this with no depth perception, too.
Yeah, she's got shit eyesight.
I think her hands are behind her back the entire time, too.
Oh, wow.
So I would like to say that if there was one thing that was really pleasing about this and exciting, it was when the kids actually did start getting physical. Like, nobody was like locked up with fear and how they couldn't respond to things. Like Koichi literally knees a girl in the fucking gut and just pushes her out of the way. He's like, I don't got time for your shit. And I loved it because I was like, I would have never expected it to go that smoothly.
Yeah, he mans up at the right moment.
Yeah, that the, and there is a lot of knife dodging. Like, there is a lot of
knife dodging.
And I'm impressed. Those kids are all very talented.
So we've got the one guy who falls out the window and he's like, yeah, he might not be dead.
He's mad.
He's mad.
Tomohiko at this point is in pure survival mode. He knows one person has been living or is not the extra.
Needs to die.
And that's him. So he's going to kill everyone else, more
he's,
or less.
Yeah. He's systematically crossing everyone off the list of being the extra.
Technically, it could be him, though, right?
It could
That's what I was thinking at this point. Exactly, because he got
you
up.
Don't know.
Right.
Right.
It's his mysterious disappearance from his landing ground, as we'll call it, certainly seems to indicate
he crawled
something.
His way into the dining room right after What's-His-Name found the fire and was like... Mm-hmm. I'm pissed.
No, that wasn't him. That was another student.
That was a different student.
That was that alerted him to the fire in the dining room.
Can we note that is just that's classic school president. Like, I'm going to be absolutely sure that, you know, we get this ghost. So I'm just going to kill everybody else.
It's just like
it's very systematic and structured. He's totally
he's
following
like,
the rules.
Well, damn. I got it wrong again. I guess the dead one must be you.
You know, from a practical standpoint, like, the likelihood is that he will kill the other, the extra student halfway through the list. So he saves half of the remaining students.
Oops, here I go killing again.
Besides the girl who full scorpions outside the window.
Oh, yeah. That was rough.
Yeah.
When she was chasing after Misaki through the bathroom window or whatever.
I thought
Epic knife dodge.
I thought her body would like slump or something, but no, she stays rigid.
Goes straight into rigor mortis. And I guess we're not even talking about a kid who does not die from the asthma attack because he was being rushed to the hospital. But for some reason, the teacher turned around halfway through that because when he parks, that kid is still having an asthma attack and is in the backseat of his car.
Speaking as an asthmatic, my assumption was, granted, I've never had like an asthma attack that bad.
I have.
My assumption,
he got
though,
better.
Well, yeah, my assumption is that he got him treatment and then
took him out of safety.
Oh, that's actually a real good point.
Let me bring
why
you back.
Is this kid who was suffering an asthma attack coming back?
Let me bring you back to Hotel Murder.
Armor. He is not the, I mean, the teacher. The librarian has plot armor.
Librarian has total plot armor.
Because he is not the teacher. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So he's like, if the kid's with me, he'll be fine at this point, maybe? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Regardless, yeah, he survives. So.
Yeah, he totally survives. But like, man, he was just like, fuck me. Because asthma attacks are sucky when they're serious.
Maybe he sensed the looming danger and he just faked an asthma attack real quick. Like, get me out of here.
Well, in the midst,
can't breathe. I read the script. Yeah. I'm not gonna make it.
Uh-huh. As soon as they get to the bottom of the hill, he's just like, all right, teach, I'll catch you next week.
You know, there's evidence that supports that because he has a brand new inhaler right beside him.
Right?
In that bag.
Why is it empty? I don't know. It was full a moment ago. I like this kid.
He has my favorite character's pocket.
Yeah.
It's in his back pocket. He's just like, no, it's empty.
Yo, if there was a character, I'd want to be that one.
So real quickly, how does Tomohiko die?
Which
one was Tomohiko?
Yeah, he's the one with the glasses. He's the class representative.
He doesn't.
He does not die. He almost gets killed by countermeasures.
He gets hit in the back of the head.
And she goes to finish him.
And she goes to finish him. And then Mr. Plot Armor
teacher's like, no, you shouldn't go
around
killing people.
So they mention he is dead in the last episode.
Oh, he did die?
My condolences.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
If you leave him alive, how the hell do you, like, how do you script the ending for him? Because,
He's in jail next to the coffee vending machine guy.
He kills three or four students. And for the record, he doesn't go on that rampage at all. I think I already said that in the other two forms. And he's alive in the other two forms as well.
I'm glad he goes on the rampage. It added to it.
It definitely makes, instead of just one psychopathic killer and a bunch of students freaking out.
There's multiple psychopaths. And fires and all these weapons around.
Okay, that's...
episode 12.
Get through this.
Yeah.
Real fast. Straight to the big point here. We have Izumi, the head of countermeasures, in her final face-off with Misaki and, by extension, Koichi. But before she can deal any killing blow, explosion happens and she gets killed by glass.
And then they frame it perfectly for her to be the dead person. She's like framed by glass and then she looks like a doll and you're like, bam, full fucking circle. I fucking love it. This is where it should fucking end. It should be done now. And then the show goes on for 5 more minutes.
Yeah, I totally understand and agree. Like, same thing. I was hoping that that was it.
Because it was such a beautiful death and it was like poetic.
Do you like the Christ air? Or wait, yeah. She's not in the air, I guess. She's on the floor. The floor Christ?
Yes.
Okay.
But yeah, they like pose her up and they're like, okay, yeah. And then the freaking green sleeves from Cowboy Bebop starts playing. And you're just like, yeah, this is perfect.
But there's one problem with this. The foreshadowing starts in episode 1.
Doshite, right? Doshite?
And if you
were paying attention at all, you would have noticed that. You would have noticed that 2 characters were actually 1 character.
Yeah, yes. I didn't notice that at all ever. And when they made the connection between Mikami.
Fuck. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mikami and Reiko.
Reiko are the same. I was like, they don't look the same. They don't look alike at all. And I'm still looking. I'm like, I don't even think their hair color is the same.
They got different mannerisms.
The hair color made no sense at all.
Is the same. And I kind of watched a little bit of the old stuff. This is the one thing that I'm not sure what it exactly was in the light novel. In the manga, it makes more sense. Or a little more sense, I guess, because the teacher wears the glasses, has the put-up hair, and Reiko, it has the hair down, the glasses off. So it's like she, you know, tightens up her image.
She becomes Superman, basically. Mm-hmm. She just takes off the glasses and puts on the cape and no one knows.
Whereas when she becomes the teacher in this one, it's the opposite. So maybe that was kind of a curveball.
Yeah. The other thing, I guess, is she's like, is she buried under logs? Is that what it is?
Yes.
Might as well be.
She's under logs. It's not debris, if I remember correctly.
It's like some sort
of... The explosion happened.
Yeah, but...
Well, I imagine they were stacked up against the cabin or the shed, because it was right by a shed, so they fell on top of her.
So it didn't make sense to me because she got mopped, and then she's on the floor,
and then the explosion happens,
and then she's just prone under some logs, and I'm like, I don't know how she made got it outside. Here, but this is easy enough.
Yeah, I don't think they ever explain it that they don't explain it in the manga, and I didn't read page by page the translation of the light novel, so I can't say how it happens there. My assumption in the anime is that Misaki finds her crawling and basically
knocks over some logs and takes the second to answer the phone that she hates.
Mm-hmm.
She's more like, or less.
Yeah, what's up?
Yeah, he's
I'm in the back. We're good.
He's also just making a phone call and it keeps panning around him and everything's on fire. Like there's no discernible exit. And I'm like, okay, so he just teleports out of the ring of fire.
Instant transmission,
yeah. Yeah, there are some issues I have with the anime trying to make things way more grandiose than it has to be.
Yep.
And I think because like when the anime deviates from the story, like the light novel,
to its benefit.
Yeah, I don't think they really think things through. But yeah, the twist that Reiko is the extra, that the teacher is the extra.
Because there weren't enough desks in the teacher's lounge.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't remember that part.
Yeah, not enough desks in the teacher's lounge. Wow. That's where the extra desks needed to go.
It seems like you guys don't like this twist, but I thought this twist was maybe the best way they could have ended the anime.
I think they should have just killed Head of Countermeasures and called it a day.
Nah, man.
You know?
Yeah.
The foreshadowing was at the very beginning. Not just the bird, but the grandfather, which this is apparently a thing in the light novel. If you are dealing with mental illness, you are not affected by the curse. The grandfather is aware the entire time that Reiko is dead and is not seeing Reiko.
He has dementia or something?
More or less.
That's why we never actually got to see his face.
Yeah, because dementia ruins your face.
Jesus. Yeah, the grandfather says like verbatim in the first episode, poor Ritsuko,
yeah.
Poor Reiko, I'm tired of funerals.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
It's right there in your fucking face, and you just ignore it because the character's right beside you.
And then they completely separate those two characters.
Well, and yeah, I didn't realize they were the same person either. Because like in a lot of animes, characters usually wear the same thing. So I just assumed it was
right. They do keep characters looking almost the same unless they do some sort of transformation. And that's the only time you expect to see them in a different outfit.
And I think like, yeah, that's a cheap, like there's no way you're supposed to be able to recognize the teacher and Reiko are the same person. But have you guys played Heavy Rain?
No.
Nope.
Heavy Rain is a murder mystery and a serial killer mystery, in fact.
In which you fail at all of the QuickTime events to see how absurd it can be. oh, shit, I slipped on this chicken. I should have hit right trigger.
I'm not going to get into the spoilers behind it or like actually who it is, but the game intentionally, it lies to you. You see an event and you play an event a certain way, and at the end of the game, you get to watch that event, but actually see what happens.
It tells it from an objective perspective.
An unfaithful narrator. The narrator is lying to the player, I guess you could say, in that case. There are multiple narrators, I should also point out. And I think that this is another occurrence where the media lies to you or hides something to from you intentionally, because otherwise, like,
it would be too easy.
Maybe not necessarily too easy, but like it serves as a better twist by the end.
I just would have been excited to know that she was the same character throughout the entire thing. I would have had a completely different understanding. I wouldn't have expected her to be the dead one still.
Right.
I just would have knew she was the same character. I also must say, executive producer, your wife, also didn't know that they were the same person.
Didn't or did?
She did not.
Oh, yeah.
We discussed it a little bit while we were playing.
Yeah, there's no way you can know that.
Just
there's
from that
absolutely
anime?
No way.
Nope.
So, I mean, I haven't even been using people's names for a reason, and that's because I was that out of it with like trying to determine which each character was. And so if there was anyone furthest from like deducing this, I feel like it was me. Because from the start, I mean, I was like identifying people by their roles and what they looked like, more or less. And that was the best I could do. And so there's
outgoing jock.
There's no way I could have seen, or like later balcony murder, like, or attempted balcony murder. But before that, like stupid Hawaiian shirt, like I didn't remember any names. So
heart attack kid.
How do you feel as the attempted balcony murderer, like knowing that you almost killed your best friend, but then, hey, it's okay because your best friend turned out to be a murderer too.
Like, I guess I didn't fuck up. Like, wrong reason, right result.
My reaction at the end of episode 11 was great too, because he comes in and says, I think I fucked up, and I'm just like, yes.
It was really funny. I was really glad he did it, and at the same time I'm like, you are so stupid, man. Who would ever think it's a good idea to just choose somebody to kill?
Obviously 13 other students.
Yeah.
So
half the class.
So I must ask, I was the one who suggested we kind of watch this for not like,
are you asking, are we happy about it?
Did you enjoy it, at least?
Yeah, don't tell my girlfriend, but this ending actually raised it from like a 4 to like a 7 for me.
Okay.
I mean, you brought up a really good point that like some point in the ending, you realize that something like the combination of all of the events more or less trivializes all of the deaths up to that point.
Yes.
And really it does, because from an emotional standpoint, there's not enough time to become attached with any of the characters that die, with the exception of Izumi, the head of countermeasures. And
I like the nurse.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, the nurse you had time to get attached to.
A little bit of time. But like those are the two deaths that really mean anything. And then Reiko at the end, of course. But technically, she's been dead.
Actually, I didn't care.
Really?
Word up to what's his name for just being like, I ain't no bitch. Give me that pickaxe.
Yeah.
Let's go.
The character I feel the worst for is the bird, because he keeps asking why and no one will tell him.
The bird actually sees, like, there's like, what are you guys doing? Why?
Why is she still here?
I was dead. Okay, so
I don't have enough words to actually communicate this, so I'm just going to say wild.
This is actually where, at the very end, when they finally reveal that it's Reiko, that I was like, ah, shit. Okay, the smoking gun at the very beginning. I don't know if they purchased that bird in mourning or not, but the fact that it mimics human speech, right? That type of bird mimics human speech. Why Rey is a question that probably the grandpa and grandma are asking a bunch right after she dies. Right. And so it's mimicking the things that it's heard and saying it over and over. And I'm like, oh, that actually
they also fucked up.
Really point me towards her immediately.
Cheer up.
They really fucked up on the anime with Reiko's actual death. She's murdered. In the light novel, they never disclose they find her drowned, but they don't know how. So there's a strong likelihood that she also just committed suicide, much like the teacher did.
And that's the why, Rey, why? Yeah, why did you die?
Right.
When I was looking at it, just because the stranger in the anime who murders her happens to have just kind of a similar haircut to Koichi, I'm like, wait. Did he kill her? Like, I was very confused.
It brings up
a lot
of random questions that don't have, like, we're
they should
never
have made
have
the
straight.
Yeah,
for.
They should have made the stranger look more different, or maybe I was like associating it too much. But for a split second, I was like, wait, did he kill her? Then is this his denial or something? And then, of course, it was solved. Like, it was
saved. He killed her the second time.
Stranger. Yeah. He finished the job.
Could have swore I killed you last time, bitch. Give me that pickaxe.
But yeah, it was just, I don't know. There were some really confusing things about her death. End of the day, I enjoyed this experience with you guys, even if I can't say that the anime was something that I particularly like derided a lot of joy from.
Yeah, and I should say too, my 7 is not just for the anime, but I guess like the
culture of it all.
The series as a whole. Yeah, I guess so. Okay. Unless you want to do it out of 5, you know, the superior rating.
I like the 5 rating system. As a show in and of itself, I give it 3 doshite rays out of 5.
I'm about there with you. Yeah. And the reason I actually like really suggested we watch this, one, because I actually really did enjoy the Ballroom Blitz, and because of the mystery aspect of it.
That definitely like elevated it near the end.
It's a satisfying Ballroom Blitz.
Yeah.
Lizzie did not enjoy the Ballroom Blitz part.
You didn't? Man, people get
senseless violence.
By the end of this anime, I was like, I just gave up. I was just like, no, I don't know. I just didn't like it.
Neil through the Discord just like, these guys are dropping like flies.
I mean, a lot of kids die at the end in the light novel, but
they are also nameless, faceless.
Everyone has names, but yeah, you're right. Like, they would have been more
I mean,
faceless.
I didn't know anybody's name, so anybody could have died and they would have been nameless.
They just became this victim.
It just seems that like, there was a lot of time spent in the middle of the anime that, like, episode 8 was completely original. They could have taken out episode 8 and decided to put it towards something that mattered more.
Yeah.
Which one was 8? Oh, 8 was
the beach
boat
party.
Yeah, Boat-kun. Merciful Boat-kun. And Koichi is also not perfect. Like, aside from being a little more frail because of his collapsed lung.
He also kicks girls in the stomach.
He also, for a guy with collapsed lung, he certainly was just breathing in all the smoke.
And he can sprint pretty well, too. Yeah, he's actually pretty physically fit for a guy who only has one lung.
Just imagine.
The asthma kid is probably really jealous. He's like, I've got 2 lungs and I'm dying here.
He's also like a lot meaner to the shy kid, the shy boy, and there's a little bit of there's like clues towards the teacher's identity being Reiko's, because when the kid comes to visit Koichi, the shy kid, I can't think of his name because he doesn't do shit.
In the anime, he asked, "What do you think of Reiko?" Right?
Yep.
Right.
But it's even more evident because you come to the conclusion that why is he going to meet this? Like going to this kid's house who like basically makes fun of him all the time. Like Koichi more or less bullies the shy kid, but the shy kid goes to his house And it's not to check up on Koichi when he's sick. It's actually to check on the teacher he has the hots for.
Check up on Reiko.
Exactly. How does he know who Reiko is?
Does that make him a necrophiliac?
Yes.
Cool.
Yes, it does.
He's into dead ladies.
Well, I mean, it's not like he knew she was dead.
He knew.
Does that mean, like, let's say you're in a morgue, Scott?
Wait, why do I get to make these decisions?
Because we're asking you now. Does that mean
I'm sorry about the dementia joke. I'll just take it back. Don't make me do this.
No, it's just a hypothetical. If you're in a morgue and you're attracted to someone that's laying down.
Yeah.
But you don't know they're dead.
We're just in a morgue.
Does that mean you're a necrophiliac?
The context is enough to make me assume that they're dead. And then if it turns out they're alive, like, yippee. But...
just go into a morgue assuming everyone's dead.
It's like, yeah. Oh shit, you're alive? Cool. Want to hang out?
Yeah, here's my number.
Call me maybe.
Oh god, that song.
Okay, that's all we have to say about that, right?
Let's get off of that topic and jump into the news.
Yeah, it's time for the news.